Okay, question one. We begin the sugya. Why is the Torah formulate the prohibition of lying in such a strange fashion? Midbar sheker tilchak. Distance yourself from something false. Why don't you just tell me outright? Al teshaker. Don't lie. Al teshaker. Don't lie. Why this distance yourself from something false? It's a very strange way of formulating the deen. Midbar sheker tilchak. Why? Why is it saying that way? See.
Because maybe it's the normal to lie.
Oh, so let me give you an example. You're sitting in your house, having a cup of tea, laying back on the couch, enjoying yourself, want to put on some television, you had a long day at work. This guy calls and wants to talk to you. And the chakoach, let's say it's your mother. You love your mother, but you know, I'm tired, a long day. I don't want to deal with this right now. But your poor mother, you don't want to lie to her, right? So you tell your daughter, 1 second. You run, you open the door, you're screaming, tell her I'm not home, right? He's not home. You run back inside. Did you lie?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I lied?
You didn't. Your daughter did.
Was it a lie or not? Yeah. When I answered the phone, I was on the other side of the door. Right? Did I lie?
Yes.
Why did I lie? I wasn't home.
Where?
I was outside. When my daughter said, I'm not home, I was outside. The answer is, when your mother calls you and wants to talk to you, she doesn't care what side of the door you're on. The question is, you're around, are you available? The answer is, of course you are. Right? Of course you lied. Mazel b'shoneh, which side of the door you're on?
Yeah.
At the end of the day is, right? So Torah says, mitvar shek, this is sometimes the words you use may be true, but you're lying straight to your teeth. So the words are true. Yes, I was outside at the moment when my daughter told you I wasn't home. But it's still sheker, it's still a lie. Because the question is, not which side of the door are you on? The question is, are you available to talk to me? And the answer is, you are. So it's sheker.
Not necessarily, he's watching TV.
But the answer is, are you around? Right? You can say, I'm busy. But for the fact that you didn't tell your mother, no mom, I'm busy, I'm watching TV, I don't want to talk to you, because you know that's not going to go over well, right? We'll get there. I'll just give an example. Mitzacheni, I don't know if you saw this source. It's source number 17. So this guy is sitting at home relaxing, and he sees a huge parade march in front of his house. Whole parade. Calls up his friends, you don't believe what's in front of my house. There's 600,000 people walking in front of my house like Yotze Mitzrayim. And if you don't believe me, I'm not eating meat for a year. Right? No Genesis for me for a year. Now, we all know there was no 600,000 people walking in front of his door. So you go in front of the rabbis. Can I eat meat this year? Right? There was 20,000. There was no 600,000. So the Gemara says, no problem. You can eat meat. Why? He just lied. He said, if there's no 600,000 people parading in front of my window today, the deen is what? I'm not going to eat meat. There was only 20,000. Sheker v'chazav. You're lying. When the Ram says, no, you have to understand something. Human nature is to exaggerate. Human nature is to exaggerate. If I told you there was 20,000 people in front of my house, you'll think there was 2,000 people in front of my house. To make you believe there was 20,000, I have to say 600,000. Right? That's how people speak. That's human nature. So here, I'm saying words which are false, and I'm saying the truth. And the first thing, I'm saying words which are true, and I'm saying sheker. So sheker is not dependent on words. What is it? Midvar sheker tilchak. Is what am I conveying? The words are not as important as what message I'm conveying to you. So I'll give you an example. You know, Syrians, when they invite to weddings, you invite, if you want them to show up at 8 o'clock, you have to invite at 5. Yeah. 3 hours later, coming, no problem. If I write, come to the wedding at 8 o'clock, right? I just lie to every single one of them because they're going to show up at 11. Right? If I want you to show up at 8, I have to write 5. That's the language they speak. And in reality, if I write to show up at 8, I'm lying to them. Because they understand 11. Right? That's sheker. At my wedding, we had two invitations. One for the Ashkenazim, one for the Sfaradim. We had 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the afternoon, Ashkenazim were there at the door waiting while we're still taking pictures. And the Sfaradim, we invited them for like 12 o'clock and they still didn't show up till 4. Right? Kachaze. So the Torah says, Midvar sheker tirchak. Distance yourself from something false. Because the words, it's not the words that are important, it's what message am I conveying. Therefore, if you got to the first Gemara, the case was, the rabbi tells the student, you know, Yaakov owes me 10 grand. You know I wouldn't lie. I'm a rabbi. I don't lie. Yaakov owes me $10,000. But I only have one witness. I have Daniel. Daniel's my witness. I need two. In Jewish law, to take money out, I need two witnesses. So Dave, do me a favor. You know me. I'm a rabbi. I don't lie. Come to court. Don't say a word. Just stand there. Just stand there with Daniel. When I walk in together. Yaakov's going to think I have two witnesses. He's going to be embarrassed and he's going to admit it. You didn't say a word. Torah says, Midvar sheket irchak. That's lying. You, by walking into Bedin, not opening your mouth, just standing there, is a lie. You lied. 1 second, I didn't say a word. Because what message are you conveying by standing there? That you know testimony about this story and you know nothing.
Who is the liar?
So that's a lie. Who? Hayed.
What about the one that invited him?
Oh, that's sure. I'm not allowed to invite him. I assume it as minoto. But if I told him to come, he's a liar.
Yeah, Rabbi, but if before you waited $10,000 and by this action, you
doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's still asur. Two wrongs don't make a right. It's a dying sheker. Because he doesn't know anything. His message he's conveying is, I know something I don't know. The sheker.
He's not doing anything. You invited him. You requested him to come, not.
But he knows he's not a kosher ed.
But he's coming for you.
But guess what? Rabbi, I'm sorry, you're wrong. I don't know any testimony. I don't belong in court. That's the answer.
But perjury is a crime.
That doesn't, right?
No,
he didn't say a word. He didn't say a word. He just walked into court.
Well, if he gets a pin, he's finished.
No, obviously he would walk out and say, I don't know anything. I just walked in. Right? If they challenged him, but it's still midvar sheker tirchak, it's still a lie. So I may not open my mouth, I'm saying sheker. I can say the truth and I'm lying. I can say a lie and I'm saying the truth. Because bottom line is, what message am I conveying? Right? What am I conveying? What are you understanding from my words? Am I saying the truth or am I not saying the truth? Therefore we get the machloket Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, right? A woman is, you walk into a wedding, some ketzad medagdim lifnei hakala, right? How do you dance in front of the bride? So Beit Shammai says, "Kala kamo shehi." If she's ugly, you gotta, and she's, you know, if she's ugly and she's got a horrible character, you tell the guy you're dancing with him. Oh, yeah. You did a great job here on this one, didn't you, huh? Right? And so that's Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel says to him, "What are you talking about? You know, you always gotta say, Kala nava chasuda. What a beautiful, gorgeous bride you have. Beautiful on the inside and on the outside." So Beit Shammai says, "Midvar sheket tirchak. You're lying. How can you lie?" So Beit Hillel tells him, did you see the Gemara?
Yeah.
Beit Hillel tells him, one second. You know, if I go shopping and I got ripped off, right? I paid $1,200 for the new iPhone instead of $1,000, right? I can feel all good about myself. I got a great deal, right? And I can't give it back. It's over. I used it. Store's not taking it back. You tell me, Rabbi, you're an idiot. You're overpaid for that. You're not allowed to. It's asur. Because you make, there's nothing he can do about it. It's done deal. He closed the deal. You have to make him feel good about his purchase. Because
what about teaching you a lesson?
No. You gotta make him feel good about his purchase because you can't take it back. You can in the future say, you know, next time let me negotiate for you. Do something, but you gotta make him feel good about his purchase. Right? Because you can't do anything about it anymore. It's too late. So Beit Hillel says, it's too late, he's married. What are you gonna do? You gotta tell him, Karala Hasuda. Are you lying? Are you lying? So what's the deal? So here we have an interesting thing. We have two other cases like that also. Not only by Kala, where you're supposed to say what a beautiful bride, but we have two other cases like that also. When Yaakov Avinu passed away, the Gemara says, we learned Torah last week, the brothers come and they say to Yosef, you know, your father told us to tell you that you should forgive us for selling you and don't take revenge against us. And you know, our father commanded. This is what the brothers tell Yosef. Now, was this true?
You didn't say
it. Yaakov, he never said it. Never said it. They're lying straight through the teeth of Shvatim to Yosef. How can they do that? How can they do that?
They were scared.
Huh?
They were afraid.
They were afraid. But how can you lie because you're afraid? You can mitvatshek tichak. Oh. So here's what we would define the real definition between truth and falses. So we have this understanding is, what is truth? Words that are true, or at least a message I'm conveying is true. And the message that are words that are false and the message I'm conveying is false. But that's not how we define truth and honesty in this world. What is makes more sense? That the brothers should hate each other and kill each other and take revenge against each other? Or if we can find a way to make peace between them? What's a greater truth? To have peace? Or say words which are true? Obviously, the greater truth is to have shalom in this world. So sometimes to have a situation of peace, you have to say words which are false to create a reality of peace. And not because I'm allowed to lie. It's not that I'm allowed to lie in order to bring shalom. That is truth. Shalom is the truth. Right? We're redefining what truth and falsehood is. Truth doesn't mean words of truth, and false means words of false. Having machloket, having infighting, is a falsehood. That's sheker. No greater sheker in the world than that. If I can avoid it by saying a few words, of course I say those words. Those words technically might not be true words, but it's irrelevant. They're said for the sake of what? Of truth. For the sake of the greatest truth. That's emet. There's no greater emet than that. So it's not that mutar l'sharod, you're allowed to lie in certain situations. So that's saying that's not called lying. Zero sheker. That's not a lie. That's the truth. So mutar l'shanot mipnei shalom. So there are three cases a person is allowed to what? Mishaneh.
I'm sincere.
Right? They said something which as well as they
say. Would say if my father will know, he probably would think that.
Whatever it is, but they said something which lo haya velo nivra, and they said it in order to bring shalom between them and Yosef, and the answer is it wasn't sheker. It's not sheker.
Isn't it what Aaron used to do, like she said,
Aaron
Akoen?
No, it's nice.
Okay? Ohel v'shalom, right? Yeah, he wants to make peace with you. Lo haya velo nivra. I don't go over to a person and say, you know, Daniel really feels bad that he cursed you out. He really feels bad about it. He wants to make up. Daniel never said any of that, right? He's cursing you under his breath still, right?
Yeah.
Never said any of that. And I go to Daniel, you know, David feels so bad about what happened. He's so bad about the fight, right? That's what Ahav HaKohen did all day long.
Yeah.
And neither one of it was true. But guess what? What's a greater event? What's a greater truth? There shouldn't be fights between them. But Rabbi Nina says, be careful. Don't use this as a license to lie whenever you want to. A person always has, even though it's more important the message you're conveying, but you don't have a license to just lie whenever you want. He says, there's two kinds of lies. A lie that causes damage to another person, no matter what, you can never say it. Any excuse you have in the world that you want to say it, not going to help you. Shalom, this, that, you cannot say a lie that's going to cause damage to another person. Then you have lies that are shel mabekach. Lies which doesn't matter. I wore green pants yesterday. Okay? Anybody care? Yes, no, maybe it didn't happen, but right? Shema bekach, right? So a lie like that you're not allowed to say. But for a sake of peace, or for a sake of shalom, then you're allowed to say it. But only a mai shema bekach, a lie which has no real ramification. So to say it in a situation in order to help, to bring out truth, then you can do it. So far, so good? Yeah.
An affair.
What?
What about in a situation of an affair? You lie to your partner and say, no, I'm not having an affair. But you are having an affair, but you're stopping the broigus. And potentially, you could stop a divorce.
It could stop a huge thing from happening. Yes and no. So that's already a sticky situation. Because, first of all, that actually causes damage. That lie does cause damage. Because nobody wants to be with a husband that's not being faithful. On the other hand, if if we can bring peace between these two and not have them split up, and there's a way to do that. But you're already getting into a very sticky situation. That's not a situation where you can just say, I want to lie straight through this. This one needs thought out and review, right? That's a lie that can clearly cause damage, right? Clearly cause damage.
Lies that doesn't cause damage, we're okay with that?
What?
Lies that doesn't cause damage.
No, it's asur to lie. So but in a situation where b'nei shalom, b'nei darkei shalom, for situations like that, a person is allowed to.
If somebody is coming and bought a jacket and he says, what do you think of my jacket? And he thinks it's terrible. What is he going to say to him?
So in that situation, again, b'nei shalom, if you can return it, right? If it's too late, your word already is nice. No, it's very nice.
It's not very nice, I'm thinking. So.
But you like it, right? So make you happy with your purchase. So that's Bet Hillel. Kalan Ava Hasuda. Yes.
In this case, we call it politically.
That's right. That's exactly the case. Kalava Hasuda. Yeah, what a great jacket. You don't have to say it's beautiful if you think it's beautiful. What a great jacket, right? Find a different description about the jacket. That something positive about the jacket that you like.
Some people like to suffer.
They want you to suffer.
They feel happy.
Well, let me. Yeah.
Isn't it we opening by saying that we opening another avenue for each on his own good? Everybody
have
his own truth. Israel today suffered from it.
No, no. Chas v'shalom.
Again, with a certain truth, and
you don't have your own truth. There's a clear, objective reality. What is truth and what is false? Is what message are you receiving? What am I conveying to you?
Yeah, if I
that's the barometer.
They've been telling me the truth. All of a sudden, comes somebody tells it's wrong. It's I grew with it. For me, I was
so,
right for the truth.
So somebody lied to you. That's not a myth. We're not saying somebody can lie to you, but we're running out of time. People are tired. I want to finish because two more important points to make. Well, we have a case with God Himself, right? But Yitzchak Sarah laughs, and she says, "How can I have a child at 90 years old and Abraham 100 years old? I'm old, right?" And she says, "Also, Adoni Zaken, and not only am I old, but Abraham is also old, right?" When Abraham complains about Sarah, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu complains about Sarah to Abraham, what does he say? He says, and Sarah said, I'm old. HaKadosh Baruch Hu neglected to mention to Abraham that Sarah also said Abraham Avinu is old. Right? He said a half-truth. He didn't say the full story. Right? He didn't say the full story.
Well, why did he say it to begin with?
Well, that's good. That's not our sugya. Obviously, it was important for Abraham to know what Sarah did. But it wasn't important for her to know that Sarah called him old. Right? There was no need for him to know that. Right? Right? There's no need to know that. So HaKadosh Baruch himself was Meshaneh, which means he revealed a half a truth. He revealed a half a truth in order there should be shalom between Abraham and Sarah. Right? Revealed a half a truth. He didn't say the full story. Let me give you an example, just the practical things. You know, you come over to me, Rabbi, do you have a pen I can borrow? And I say no. But you have this shiny pen here. Right? You're holding a pen. What do you mean I can don't? You see, the answer is, in 12 seconds, I have a meeting and I have to sign a bunch of papers in the office with Ruud and I need my pen. And I can't give it to you. But I don't want to stop what I'm doing and give you a 20-minute speech explain to you why I don't have a pen to give you. Their answer is, I don't have a pen. The answer is no. Right?
You don't have a pen that you can borrow.
Right, I don't have a pen that you can borrow. But if I say, yes, I have a pen, can I borrow? I really can't. No, but just for once, I just need it for 1 second. And you're going to go back and forth, you just wasted 15 minutes, you don't have it, right? So the answer is, I don't have a pen. What am I conveying to you? I may have a pen in my pocket, but I don't have a pen that I can lend you. And if you have no choice, ideally you should say words which are true, and don't rely on this. But in a situation where you have no choice, that is the truth. What I'm conveying to you is what? I don't have a pen for you. Just like when your mother is calling you, you run outside, right? At the end of the bottom line is, running outside is not going to help you. Because the truth is, what am I conveying? I'm available. I'm here. What's she asking? Are you available to talk on the phone? The answer is, I really am. I'm just not in the mood. Right? So it's what you're conveying. That's what emet is. What am I making you understand? What's the question? Do you have a pen? The answer is, no, I don't have a pen for you. So emet is defined as what is truth, is what I have to convey to you, honestly. And false is when I convey something which is false. The words that I use are not as important as the message I'm conveying to you. That's why the Torah says, Midvar Sheker. Things which are false, distance yourself. It doesn't say, Al Tishaker, don't lie. Because anything which is false, you have to be distanced from. You have to convey truth. And sometimes you may need to use words which are false to convey the truth. So let's finish up with one last idea here. And this is fascinating last Gemara. This Gemara here, where this man moves to a city called Kushta. And in this city, nobody ever lied, nobody ever died. And he takes a wife in the city, in Kushta. And he gets married and has two children. And one day his wife's taking a shower, washing her hair. And the neighbor knocks on the door, wants to talk to his wife. And he says, "I'm sorry, my wife's not here." Because he said that it's not nice to say, it's not dignified to say she's taking a shower. They had more dignity in those days. So they, big deal. We'll say she's in the bathroom also, right? But in those days, we're more dignified. They didn't want to say she's taking a shower, right? Not nice. So he said, "He's not home." He was mishaneh because of what? Because of tzniut. Because of tzniut. Right? Agav, we saw the Gemara here also. I don't know if you got to the sources, right? Whatever, believe it. What happens? His two sons died. The people of town come around his house and said to him, "What happened here? What happened here?" And he tells him the story. He says, "Please leave our town. Don't bring death to our city. Goodbye. Go home." So the Gemara seems to imply that you can't even use words which are a lie for the sake of dignity. That seems to contradict everything we just said. So comes the Maharal and says, you have to read this Gemara a little carefully. He says, "Do you know of any such city in the world that nobody lies and nobody dies?" No such city. It's probably hard to find a city that nobody dies. Nobody lies and nobody dies. That's probably hard. But do you know of any city that nobody lies and nobody dies? No such city exists. It's a city that's not in this world. Right? It's not here. It's not in this world. It doesn't exist here. What the Gemara is conveying to us is, in the world of truth, emet, in that world is a world where the truth is expressed completely 100% in truth. Where words are true and the message is true and everything is true. But here in our world, we don't live in a black and white world. We live in a gray world. In our world, where I may have to make a choice between peace and war, between shalom and milchama, I have to choose between. I have difficult choices to make, and sometimes I need to change my words to bring truth in this world. Right? That's how Mara learns this Gemara. In this world, the truth is sometimes I may need to use words which are false to bring truth out. That's emet and that's shekher. So the bottom line definition of emet is what message I'm conveying. I have to convey to you the truth. And sometimes I have to exaggerate. If I don't exaggerate, I'm actually lying to you. Because if I tell you there were 10 people here, right? Imagine class tonight. You're going to come back tomorrow and say, "Wow, there's 60 people in the class." So I believe you, there were 30. I tell you there were 30 people, you're going to think, okay, 10 people showed up. Right? So if I tell you there was only 30 people here, I'm basically lying to you. Because in your mind, what are you getting? You're getting a message that's 15. So the words, I can say words which are a lie, and that's how I convey the truth. That's called exaggeration. That's how people speak. And sometimes I can say the truth, or stepping outside the door and I'm home. The words are true, technically true, but I'm lying straight through my teeth. So again, the words, it's not the words, but the message I'm conveying. But again, the Rabbi Yehuda warns, a person should not make himself accustomed to saying words which are not true, because eventually it'll bring him to lie in situations where he's not allowed to. So every possible scenario is possible to say words where are precise and true. You have to. It's only when you have no choice can you rely on this dispensation and say words which are not true. But ultimately is the message you are conveying, which is the truth. And that's how you bring truth in the world. Yeah.
So one Gemara that you didn't mention was the Gemara where it says that Tamid HaChamim, there's three scenarios.
Right. There's three scenarios where Tamid HaChamim, right. Three scenarios where HaChamim allowed to lie. So the guy comes and says, "Well, this guy knows all of Shas, he knows all of the Talmud, right?" And a person out of humility is allowed to say, "No, I don't know all that. Not true." Second case, which, somebody, asks him, "Did you have relations with your wife last night?" Right? So, it's a horrible question to ask, right? That was the case of the Gemara, right? Person's allowed to lie between pnitzniut. It's not a conversation I'm going to have with you, right? So mutad shanot pnitzniut. That was the second case. What was the third case?
The one that I have a question.
What was the third case?
Let's say I shouldn't use you as an example, but let's say person A, I ate a meal at A's house,
right.
And it was an awful experience.
It was a great experience. Third case is like this. I ate a meal in David's house, right? I was a guest, came into town, into the city, and David invited me. And what a awesome meal, awesome people, great time, great food, amazing. So I come back to shul the next morning. Wow, you got to see David's house. It's unreal. The food is awesome. It's delicious, whatever it is. So the Gemara says, a person in that situation is allowed to lie and say, it was okay. It wasn't so great. Why? Okay, it's not as common now. But what used to happen with travelers, what happened is every single person who goes to a town will be lined up in front of David's door and saying, David, can I have some food? Right? So mutar l'shanot, I'm allowed to lie, not lie, mishanot, to change, and say, yeah, it was okay. And not say that it was great. In order to save David the trouble of having to feed the next 1,000 guests that pass through town in his house. That was the Gemara I was talking about, right? What? Are you allowed to tell or not allowed to tell? That's the same problem. If you tell, wow, this guy just gave me $100,000, so he'll have the whole world knocking down his door. Right? It's the same idea. Yeah.
What you're asking is that are you disparaging the host in the process?
Obviously, you're not doing it to disparage. You're doing it to save him.
Dude, but who cares?
In a regular situation,
they have the best intentions. But what if they all, like Mark was wondering, if this host now is getting a bad name as not being a desirable host?
You don't have to say, again. You have to judge. You have to judge it. You don't have to say. Obviously, the case was people saw you eat there and came out and smiling and this and that and this. So people are already expecting that. How was his house? Because they're ready to knock on his door next. And the answer is no, it wasn't so good. Don't bother knocking on his door. Obviously, in a regular situation, you don't walk around and say David's house horrible, right? That's not what you do, right? Because you're making, obviously, you have to use your judgment. Sometimes you have to pump it up. It doesn't mean every person's going to knock down his door. You say it was awesome, even if it wasn't, right? Okay, we're clear. So again, what's the definition of emet? What are you conveying? No, you have to convey the truth. What is a sheker? Conveying falsehood. And sometimes shalom is the truth. And it's not important about the words you're using to convey the shalom. All right.